B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mike Greenberg with you for the next 2 hours and change. And what you are seeing here are pictures no one has ever seen before. These are from this morning. That is Tom Brady on the practice field in Tampa for the very first time. Well, what a sight it is to see. Again, the first open workout for this year's Buccaneers, which means Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski in their new gear. Something you'd have to get used to seeing. Again, these pictures are from this morning. Brady looking to get the Buccaneers back to the playoffs for the first time since 2007. And that is Brady working out and, again, in the Tampa Bay gear.
Hi, once again. Felger Mass here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. If you're listening, you just heard it. If you're watching on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, you saw it. That was Greenberg this morning on ESPN with just generic ESPN video he was talking over. We put it over the official Buccaneers team Twitter site or Instagram, whatever, their social media pages, put out already team-produced video of Tom Brady working out this morning with the Buccaneers, ready to go, and I don't know if you're over it yet or it's been played out because we've seen other video of Brady working out before, but I don't know. Does that still hit you? Does that still hit you, Murray, as a Brady guy?
I mean, I'm pumped for it. I can't wait to see it. It's probably the main reason that I hope that the season goes off without a hitch, with or without fans. I want to see a reinvigorated Brady. I mean, he's obviously out of his mind. He's been practicing for the better part of a month, and now there's a new clip, too, that's circulating because he warmly welcomed LeSean McCoy to the team, who they picked up over the weekend. Yeah, I mean, it's still weird. It's odd to say it and say it out loud, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Ugh, I still get douche chills, but I am pumped to see how he looks.
To me, it's also, they're on the field? I don't even know that. And it just ties into another thing, that we're getting porked, that we're not getting a real training camp and real training camp coverage, that they're not already on the practice field, or if they are, the reporters aren't out there yet. And there's not just any of that usual reporting about who's there, who's not, who's in shape, who's not, who passed the conditioning run, who didn't. They're, you know, even in these early stages of camp, they're repping with their unit, so you sort of get the depth chart. Who's with the ones? Who's with the twos? Who's the quarterback developing rhythm with? If this were a normal camp, we'd see Cam Newton out there already with his uniform, either throwing to the ones or the twos, and we'd have something to talk about. We'd have the big boy on the hill there at Gillette. Look at the one and ones with the third string guard versus the fourth string defensive tackle, and he'd be grading out their one-on-one drills, and we'd be making fun of him for pumping up Dan Skipper, Connor McDermott, guys we've never heard of, but it's all just part of the training camp experience. And I feel like, boy, Brady and the Buccaneers are out on the field practicing. We have video of it, and I'm sitting here in New England saying, are the Patriots even on the field yet? Like, what's going on? I don't even know what's going on.
Well, they are, but all we're getting is, little clips from state media. All you've seen is anything from, the Patriots' official Twitter account or Instagram, and it's like 17 to 20-second clips of the guys working out, and that's it. And that sucks. I'm with you. Like, I usually like this time of year because it's, oh, boy, you should see how Dan Skipper looks or who's out of shape. Like, I love all that kind of crap.
So they were just throwing up on, the simulcast, the little clip that they put up on Twitter,
yeah.
Which I'm like, I don't even know who these guys. So there's Devin McCourty, but right. And his brother. So the McCourtys are out there, which I think is important to tell you that, they're not going to opt out. We wondered. The guy pumping his fist there running off the field, is that Newton?
Butler.
No. Who the hell was that? He's got a hood on and a mask on. So, it's impossible
Connor
to tell.
Connor McDermott.
No, that was not Connor McDermott. He's, a large African-American fellow. I have no idea who that is.
That guy's not big enough to be Newton.
The only guys I can really make out are Stephon Gilmore and the McCourty brothers. That's really it.
So it's like, that's all we got. And camp started July 28th. July 28th. We're now August 4th. And if this were a normal year, they might have already had a padded practice, or at least they would have had 7-on-7s. They would have been repping and drilling with their units. We could tell depth chart. We could tell who's who, where's where, what's what. You would have the big boy filling us with inane data from players we just don't care about.
Adrian Waddle.
Thank you. It's all part of the training camp experience. And when I saw that video this morning of Brady out on the field, I'm like, I didn't even know they were practicing. I thought they were taking their tests and then quarantining, and they're not even in the building yet. Like, where are, I don't even know where anybody is.
Jordan Richards.
And I'm sorry, we're getting porked.
I think all this stuff is conditioning at this stage, right? Isn't it? Because I think the Patriots don't actually start the workout team workouts until the 12th. Which is, and look, I'm as mystified as anybody. I don't understand why we're seeing Tampa Bay and Brady throw the ball around, but we're not seeing Cam Newton do it. Like, I don't get that either. I'm mystified by that whole thing.
Right, and this is, again, I thought that the social media war was something the Patriots were willing to engage in. We know Bill didn't give a crap, but the new social media people, it's all about your hype videos. It's all this big, you know, it's just one big, we're going to throw this at you, and we're going to throw this, engaging in the whole Twitter crap. And so Brady's already got his produced videos, not just his, I'm talking about Buccaneers practice videos online. Where are the Cam Newton practice videos? Is he even out there throwing to his guys? Is he out there? Like this, I want to know. Wait, is he out there? Brady's out there. Brady's out there leading the drills. You know, in fact, like we get a report like this from Mike Giardi. Let's just run it here, Jimmy, as well. Here's Mike Giardi on Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and what's going on so far at camp down in Tampa Bay.
It's his team, and I think that's become evident to anybody that's been around him, not just during the workouts that he organized during the offseason, but now once they're back on the field, 23 offensive players out there today, and Brady was leading the charge. And you'll see in this video, too, already instructing guys on where to be and what he wants, taking full command of it. And as Bruce Arians told us last week, some of these guys are going to have to get over being awestruck about Brady in the huddle. And he's hoping that they have the guts to go up to him, talk to him, break the ice, and then let's get to this thing. But Brady is one of those guys that'll get out in front of that as well. He wants to be one of them, at least in terms of how he's perceived in the locker room, but he also wants to be the leader. He wants to be in charge of this offense. We heard from LeSean McCoy just a short time ago. As you mentioned, Andrew, he just signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, his third team in the last 3 years. And he said he's like a general out there of Brady. He said he's in complete command. And he said they were watching him today, and he was having a conversation with Rob Gronkowski, and he said, man, he looks good. Like, how much longer do you think he's going to keep playing? So they're very impressed by the sharpness and the intensity that Brady has brought here. And look, let's face it, this is a huge change for Tom Brady after 20 years, and he wants to put his best foot forward, pandemic or no pandemic, mask, no mask. He wants to be the guy that he's been for so many years in New England.
Okay, so Giardi wasn't even talking over the video we're showing you here. The video we're showing you here is from the Buccaneers. The ESPN had cameras there or a feed that Greenberg was talking over. Giardi has cameras in a feed that he was talking over during his report. And all we have are those little clips of Gunnar Olszewski.
Danny Shelton.
Or Danny Shelton, whoever the F. You know, just one of these like little clips from the Patriots. We're getting porked. And I
understand. Dan Skipper.
That's the Patriot way. I mean, I get it. But it's like, you know, I miss camp. I miss the early days of camp and the reporting on camp. And wouldn't you like to see Cam Newton throwing to the receivers? On the field at Gillette like Brady's doing here with the Buccaneers?
Hell yeah, of course. Absolutely. No two ways about it. I mean, I want to know all of it, particularly as it pertains to the quarterback spot. So to me, not to mention, you know, the other holes that they have on the team on top of it. So I'm hoping that it improves considerably in the middle of next week. That's what I'm hoping. But again, why are we getting them from some places versus others? You got me. I'm confused by that too.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay. No, so I mean, I know why. But because maybe Bill's more in charge of it now that they're all back in the building, right? They can't slip it past him like they did with that Cam Newton hype video, Maz, which were, you know, Bill's still on Nantucket or whatever, stuffing Subway sandwiches down his face. And they just, like, you know, throw out that hype video and Bill sort of, they slip it through the cracks. Now Bill's back in the building. He's back in control of what's going on. And so he's back in charge of the thing. And we don't do hype videos. So, like, maybe it's as simple as that. All I'm saying is I feel slighted. I feel, you know, if I'm a Patriots fan, I want to see that stuff with Cam Newton, just like the Buccaneers fans are seeing it with Tom Brady. Or is the Patriots schedule different? Or is there something more, you know, concrete, which is Brady's freaking dialed in, has been ready to go from day one, has been ready to go well before day one. And so the very first millisecond he's able to be out there, he's out there. Meanwhile, the Patriots are sort of coming from behind a little bit on it. They got Newton late. Newton's back in town late. They signed him late. They're just behind. Is it possible Brady's ahead of where you're at, Murray? Do you think Brady just might be ahead?
Oh, of course. Yeah, he absolutely is ahead. I mean, look at how does he look like what he's looked like the last couple of years in terms of dedication and how much he gives an F? No. Like, he's what he was, you know, when they first drafted Garoppolo. They had the guy, Mike. No, this is a new, reinvigorated, rededicated Brady.
It is so interesting, though, you know, that Giardi report with, like, him working with those receivers and taking him under his wing and taking control. Like, meanwhile, he couldn't be bothered to take a leak on N'Keal Harry. You know, he just could not be bothered to work with these guys. Now that he's trying to shove it up Bill's ass and everyone else's ass, all of a sudden, he's like, you know, he's like...
Having the guys over for dinner, I'll show you a tour of Tampa, whatever you need, guys.
Robin Williams and Goodwill Hunting. He's like, all of a sudden, everyone's mentor and everyone's life coach, and he is involved in their lives, and oh my, all of a sudden, once again, he's the hardest working guy in football and the mentor to everyone. Isn't that something? But Tom Brady, you know, once again, he's that guy, and maybe you're seeing that already in Tampa. So we'll take your thoughts on that. I know Maz has some thoughts on the agreement that was hammered out between the players and the owners and the opt-out language, and the opt-out deadline is now Thursday. So the McCourtys are out on the field. The deadline has now been set for Thursday. The players know all the parameters. The Patriots have lost way more players than any other team in the league. Is that done? Are players done quitting on the New England Patriots? Let's pick that up on the other side right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Do you read anything into the Patriots having an NFL-high 8 opt-outs this year?
Well, not a lot. I mean, I think they've gotten a little unlucky. Now, if I was going to read anything into it, okay, and where, you know, I don't think this is anything crazy. And first, I want to hit on all of this stuff, too, because I think the Patriots are probably the most interesting team, you know, that's affected by the pandemic to this point. But something I raised last week with Florio when we first started to hear a few of these names, well, I did the first thing that went to my head, my first reaction was, well, you got a lot of cerebral players up there in New England. You got a lot of thinkers, you know, guys that – you know, yeah, they're obsessed with football and they can listen to every detail and Belichick's game plan and be all over it and all of that. But that's also why Belichick got a lot of these guys where we're always like, where does he find these under the radar gems and all this? Well, he finds guys that, you know, usually love football and are very smart and can handle, you know, a heavy mental workload on a week to week basis. Now, when you come along with a smart guy, yeah, they're also capable of thinking outside the box and thinking for themselves and going, oh, damn, that was the first thing. But I think more than anything, it's just unlucky. I just think they got a bunch of guys in a year where, you know, some pregnancies are happening and things like that. And it's unfortunate.
All right, still trying to figure out why the Patriots have had 8 opt-outs. And no other team has had more than 3. There are 2 teams, Maz, that have had 3 now.
Okay.
But be that as it may, so the CBA has finally been ratified, the new adjusted CBA. The previous agreement was that players would have 7 days from the ratification to opt out or not. They trimmed that back to this Thursday, so now they only have 2 more days to do it. What are your thoughts on that whole thing?
Okay, so I find it irritating that the owners went back on this deal. And look, I think most players have known already what they were going to do. Okay, so I don't think this is going to affect things in a major way, but the number one reason they did it is because owners didn't want guys to put in, you know, that they didn't want to play, that they didn't want to play during COVID so that they would qualify for $150,000 stipend. Because there are a lot of guys who in theory could do that, knowing that I'm going to get cut from this team anyway, I'll take the $150K and opt out and I'll be on my way. So I'd like to think that something like that could be easily discerned or hammered out But the idea was that they were going to have a week until a week after the deal was ratified to figure it out. And the reason I think that that is important is because you want to get into camp. You want to see the protocols. You want to see how it goes. If you're a guy that's on the edge there a little bit, it gives you a little bit more time to assess the landscape and maybe feel comfortable. That's all. I just think it's lousy. To me, the deal was in place. What'd you go back on the deal for? That's all. I hate when people back out of deals like that. Hate it. If the players backed out of it, I'd say the same thing. So I just find that to be totally irritating. Now, does it? I know your point is, does it at all reflect on negotiations that might be going on with players over signing bonuses, at least as it pertains to the Patriots? Well, so why don't you explain that?
Well, no, I mean, just to jump in, I mean, I still think it's a mystery why the Patriots have eight guys and no one else has more than three. I mean, most teams have two or less. I think it's the Browns and the Cowboys have three. You have eight. So what's the story behind the story there? Chris Sims, which is where you heard that from, says it's just bad luck and a coincidence that Cannon has a pre-existing condition and Hightower's got a kid on the way and Chung's got, you know, it's just sort of a confluence of events and it's bad luck. I don't know if there's anything, you know, I don't know. That just feels like too convenient. And I have no idea. I'm just telling you one thing behind the scenes could be deferred payments or, you know, some sort of contractual loophole that either the Patriots are trying to take advantage of or the players are trying to leverage. Someone's trying to leverage somebody. And if someone's, you know, going to lose a leverage game, they say, screw it. Like, for example, I mean, you told me that, you know, Pat Chung got a $3 million signing bonus. $3 million. But as tends to happen here in New England, you don't get all $3 million up front. They pay you half of it now and the other half of it's deferred for a year or 6 months or whatever it is. And you said of that $3 million, he only got $175 million and the other $125 million isn't due till March?
Correct.
So I'm just saying, for example, like I have no idea, but I'm just supposing that, you know, Pat Chung is saying, well, now that $125 million isn't guaranteed. Maybe part of the agreement, those deferred payments or the option bonus or the second part of your bonuses aren't guaranteed if we don't play, or since the revenues are going down, we're not going to pay it to you. I don't know. Maybe that's in the balance. And maybe Patrick Chung says, well, if I'm not getting my full signing bonus, if I'm not getting my full guarantee, I'm out. And maybe that's what Devin McCourty got, was it $10 million to sign?
I think it was 10 and a half or 10.75. It was a lot.
And you said of that he got seven?
Seven and a half, I think. So basically for each player, it comes out at 70%. You know, they each got 70% of their bonus now, and the other 30% they'll get next spring. So now McCourty I get, because you would say, okay, McCourty's haggling, which is why he hasn't, you know, definitively committed yet, although we have seen pictures of him in video, so that's a good sign. But maybe McCourty's waiting for the other three and a half and say, no, guarantee my money, give me the rest of the signing bonus now, and I'm in. Fine, like that I get, but Chung opted out.
So look, I'm just telling you that I think there's a reason. There's a commonality, and we're searching for reasons. People think, well, if Brady was here, more players would opt in, but they don't think they have a chance this year, so they're opting out. Some people think players are just tired of Bill's crap, and why go through, you know, the drill sergeant nature of Bill Belichick for a year where we're not going to win and there's a COVID thing hanging over our head, so I'm going to opt out. Is that the reason? Is it Bill? Is it Brady? Is it what? So, and I'm just introducing this as well, because as I've come to learn, if you follow the money, you know, the money tends to be the answer to a lot of things. And maybe there's just a contractual reason. Maybe there's something the Patriots are trying to do on the contracts that are turning these players. I have no idea. All I know is that we now know what all the rules are as it relates to the CBA. We now have a deadline. Do you think the opt-outs are over, Mass? Do you think the Pats, you know, it's eight and it's going to stick at eight and that's where we're at?
I'm not convinced of that yet. Nope. I'm going to wait the two more days because I still think there's a chance someone else bails. And Mike, look, when you say it's about the money, like, as I think it out loud here, maybe it's got nothing to do with the bonus. And I go back to Hightower. Maybe they asked him to take a pay cut.
Right.
Maybe they asked him, they said, you know, you're an $8 million number this year. That number's going to come down. They drafted some linebackers. And Hightower says, screw you, I'm out. I'm not taking a pay cut. You want to play with the rookies? Go ahead, play with the rookies. Put them in there, see how you do. I'm out. I never thought I was going to see the final year of this deal anyway. So, okay, you know, because the chances of me making it through to the end were slim to none. So I'm out. See you later. Thank you. Like, to me, I can't imagine that it's just, hey, you know, I don't want to play this year. Okay, no problem. Thanks. We understand. Like, there's no way it's that clean and polite. Now, again, I'm not telling you there's a major controversy there, but there's no way it was, well, oh, we totally understand, you know, because when they walk away, Bill Belichick has to be saying, you got to be kidding me. Dante Hightower, we give him this deal, we bring him to the end, and he walks on us, he turns his back, and Chung, too. There's no way he's 100% happy about that. No way.
I don't know what football coach would be.
Exactly.
Football coaches expect you on the field. Whether you're hurt, healthy, concussed, COVID, non-COVID, it's a Neanderthal culture. It is. You know, show up. And so I don't know any football coach that would be happy with anyone opting out, as legitimate as the reasons might be or the moves might be. So we'll see if that's it. We'll see if the quitting on the team is over. Let me grab a quick call here. Rick in the car on Tom Brady on the practice field in Tampa today. How'd you feel about it?
It was interesting, but I want to ask a quick question. I'd be interested in what you guys have to say. If Tom was still a Patriot, would he be opting out? I mean, what Tom would we be seeing opting out? Would it be a Tom that just got a pay raise and, yeah, I'm all happy, giddy, woo, Tom, I'm going to opt out? Or would we have the self Winnie the Pooh? Woe is me, I'm gonna opt out.
Okay, so I don't feel like he would opt out. But I do think it's fair to ask, you know, what would Tom Brady be like if he were here? I mean, because he's been Johnny on the spot down in Tampa. Reinvigorated, first one on the field, hardest working guy. If there was an off-season program, he would have won the parking spot. First day you're allowed to be there, he's out there. Even days you're not allowed to be out there, he's out there. He's walking into the wrong house. He's, you know, all of it. You know, all the things he wasn't doing here the last couple of years, he's doing in Tampa. If he were here, would he be that guy? And
no,
I don't think...
No way.
No shot.
No way.
Go ahead, guys.
Go ahead, Murray.
Well, no, I mean, last season proved it. It was a slog. Again, I always go to week 3, a win in Buffalo, where he acted at the podium like they had just lost the game. It was over. And so if he was back here, he'd be going through the same kind of motions. It was over. So, yeah, he'd be half-assing it. Like, you wouldn't see what you were already seeing down in Tampa for the last month, month and a half.
He was done with it. He'd check, call it whatever you want. Checked out, burned out, all of the above, sick of Bill. You're needing a new check. Call it whatever you want. Put the language on it, but he was done with it. He was done with New England. He was done with playing games with the Patriots contractually. He was done with it. And by the way, he was done that with it for, really, as we know now, a year or two. It wasn't like this just happened overnight, because he was telling people back in the spring of, what was it, 2018, he's out of here. Like, he was done with it. He was done. He was out.
Meanwhile, the Patriots quarterback competition has presumably begun. Another Bill Belichick source weighs in on what he expects out of that, and I'll give you those details right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What appealed to you to bring Cam Newton to the team? And at this time of year, in the past couple decades, there hasn't been too much of a question as to who will play quarterback for you. How are you approaching that specific spot this year?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that spot's the same as all the other spots on the team. You know, we got a long way to go, and, you know, we'll see how things turn out. You know, I can't control how players perform. That's up to them. We'll give everybody an opportunity and, you know, see what happens. So,
that was Bill last week on the quarterback competition. His buddy Mike Lombardi in The Athletic wrote something breaking down this summer's quarterback competitions. He writes about Miami. He writes about Chicago. Writes about the LA Chargers, I think. And he writes about you. So he says this is a legit quarterback competition. Give me your thoughts on this. And again, Mike Lombardi, we always try and glean what, he, you know, because he's He's in with Bill. His kid works on the staff. Mick Lombardi. Does he coach quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
So Lombardi's kid's a quarterback coach.
Well, he might be an assistant quarterback coach, if I remember right.
Right, something. He's on the staff anyway. So here's what Lombardi writes. He said, the Patriots spent their offseason comparing every available quarterback to Jared Stidham. He said, their philosophy is to never spend money or assets on a player who is not significantly better than the one they have. They are not looking to get a little better. When they invest assets, either money or draft picks, they believe that the player will be an upgrade at the position. So can I just stop there?
Yep.
Did they spend money or draft picks on Cam Newton?
No. I mean, and I guess if you count the incentives, maybe.
I don't. I
mean, okay, so no.
They gave him minimum money and no draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sort of setting this all up by saying they wouldn't have gone after Cam Newton unless they thought he was better. No, no, no. Cam Newton's bargain basement. Cam Newton is bargain basement money. Those guys are signed all the time just to be cut in camp. So, sorry. No, the contract is cuttable. The contract's one that gets released in camp, not one that says this guy's better than the player we have. Sorry, Mike. I don't agree with that. But anyway, he picks it up and says they understood, the Patriots understood, they had little or no chance of moving up to the top five of the draft for Alabama's Tua or Oregon's Justin Herbert. But they could have selected Utah State's Jordan Love at 23. When they moved down, passing on Love, they told everyone they do not think Love is significantly better than Stidham. That does not mean they are correct, but it's a demonstration of how they think and operate. When they had a chance to sign Newton, they never flinched. Let me stop. Didn't they flinch for like two straight months?
Yes.
I mean, didn't they flinch and flinch and flinch and flinch and just wait for him to take their garbage offer?
Yep.
So they did nothing but flinch. They didn't act boldly or decisively. It was just about one of the last guys signed on the entire market. So what's he talking about? The first time I read this, it didn't piss me off. Now I'm getting pissed. It's like, what do you mean they didn't flinch?
Okay, well, keep going and then I'll tell you what I think. Go ahead.
He said they know Newton is different and is better right now than Stidham. Still, does not mean they are down on Stidham. They would never have brought Newton in to be the backup. That I agree with. Now, one could argue they put no resources into acquiring Newton. Yes, one could argue that, Mike, who signed a one-year deal for $1 million and is only guaranteed $550,000, but he can earn an additional $6.5 million in incentives. However, that offer was situational, says Lombardi. It's just so mealy. It's just like, wormy. What do you mean the offer was situational? He said, this is what he means. Had the Patriots had more cap room, they would have paid Newton more. Not necessarily what they would pay a starter, but something more in line with a make-it type of contract. Wait a minute. A few days after they signed Cam Newton, they settled with Antonio Brown in the estate for Aaron Hernandez and had a ton of cap room. So, bullcrap, bullcrap, bullcrap. I didn't feel like all this. Now that I'm reading this out loud, I smell bullcrap all over the place. No, no. They had the cap room if they had just waited five more days. But they wormed out of it. They used the cap as an excuse not to pay him more money, which, oh, by the way, is the definition of the salary cap. It's an excuse not to pay players more money. Either way, he said the deal as structured will hamper the Patriots unless they rework it. How's it going to hamper them? How's it going to hamper them? Here's why. Because how can they not pay Newton and then turn around and pay any other free agent? That's not fair to Newton and causes friction in the locker room. And that's something head coach Bill Belichick would never intentionally create. Well, what if they don't want to spend any more money? What if they want to save their money? What if they're saving their money this year because it's a pandemic? They're going to lose money at the gate. And so this is a business decision because they have all the cap room in the world right now. So they're not going to spend it because they don't want to upset Cam Newton. That's now the excuse not to spend money, Mass. Do you hear that?
Okay, so Bedard did make this argument a while back, too, if you remember, that it gets tricky if you're going to go out and get, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, let's say, just because it's an easy one to pick, and say, okay, we're going to give him, you know, $10 million. Cam Newton's going to say, wait a minute, when we were talking, you told me you didn't have the money. So I think there's some truth to it. I don't think it's the number one reason, but I think there's some truth to it.
Well, no. I think it's 100% true. They'll use it as the excuse, but the sequence of events, Maz. They signed Newton to a minimum salary because they had no cap.
Correct.
4 days later, whatever it was, 5 days later, they finalized their agreement with Antonio Brown and the estate for Aaron Hernandez that freed up about $7 or $8 million in cap room.
Convenient.
So, isn't that convenient? So if you don't want to spend any money, isn't this the perfect way to craft it? You sign Newton when you have those other guys still on the books for all their dead money, and you say, Cam, we can't sign you to anything. We don't have any money. Then you settle with those other guys, okay, because it's time to settle. Now you have all this cap room, but you can't sign anybody because you don't want to piss off Cam Newton, whom you only gave minimum money to. Isn't that, boy, you know how much money the Patriots have saved themselves this year? Between the settlements for Brown and Hernandez, Hightower opting out, how much money have they saved themselves?
A ton.
They've saved themselves,
a good amount.
They've saved themselves tens of millions of dollars in player salaries. And you think they're going to spend that? No, we can't spend it because we don't want to upset Cam Newton. Ooh, was that crafty? What a crafty way to get back the money they've lost this year in the pandemic. We just cracked the case on that. This whole thing about we can't sign a free agent because we don't want to piss off Cam Newton? You could have given Cam Newton more money. You just had to wait 5 days. But you didn't because you were using it as an excuse to lowball Cam Newton. Now you're not going to sign anybody because you're going to use the excuse of pissing off Cam Newton because you don't want to sign anybody. And now you've just recouped tens of millions of dollars in player salaries, thus washing out the losses you would have had because you're not getting fans in the stands, or at least some of them. Ooh, that was pretty shrewd. Anyway, when it gets to the competition, Lombardi says Newton is a top 10 quarterback when healthy, and all indications are that he's healthy. The Patriots will modify their offense to accommodate his unique skill set. Knowing how Bill Belichick loves the history of the game, Newton may be running some single-wing type plays. Oh, goody.
Yeah, the single wing.
Yeah, here we go, and we'll hear about how his father ran it at Navy. Thus making the Patriots' offense look vastly different. Considering the number of Pats players who have opted not to play this season because of the pandemic, the Patriots need stability at quarterback, someone who can lead them and evoke confidence. Newton is ready to take the reins. Stidham will have to wait his turn. So that's Lombardi's take. What's your feeling on that?
So look, that last part, to me, I agree with. And this is what I wondered, is when all these guys started opting out, what was the timeline? Is part of the reason they turned to Cam Newton because they knew they were going to lose these guys? That's all I asked. That's what I wanted to know. Is Newton at all related to the opt-outs? So, you know, do I think that, and maybe it was to try to convince guys to stay? Maybe it was because they knew they were going to lose him and they needed stability and Stidham wasn't good enough. So the one of the things that I disagree with in that column, too, is when he says, you know, or the idea, Cam Newton's here because they don't, this is not a negative on Stidham, is what Lombardi wrote. Can we stop with that? If Stidham were ready, they would have given him the job. He's not ready. That's a negative. I mean, it doesn't mean they think he sucks, but if he were ready, they'd have given him the job. He's not ready, so they went to Newton. Newton's here to play.
So Lombardi offers insight because of his relationship with Bill and his kid being on the staff, but he also runs interference. He also blows smoke for him. I thought that blurb right there was riddled with smoke. They're not going to sign someone unless that player is definitively better than – they're not going to devote big resources, I'm sorry, is what he said, on a player that they don't think is significantly better than the one that they have, except they didn't spend big resources on Cam Newton. And he says Cam Newton's contract actually hamstrings them. Even though it's cheap, even though it's $1 million, it hamstrings them because it prevents them from signing anybody else, which I think is just total bullcrap. They've got all this money now from all these opt-outs. They can sign who's ever left available, pull whatever trade they want to, put whatever they want to into the team. But now they're not going to because they don't want to upset Cam Newton. Wow, that's convenient. So like, I feel like he ran interference through this whole thing. And then your point, which everyone keeps iterating, that this doesn't mean they're down on Stidham, really? When they go the whole offseason with Stidham as their guy, and then at the last decide, nope, we're actually going to bring in the last remaining real veteran left on the market, how could that not be a statement on Jared Stidham? Anyway, there's the latest on Cam Newton. We haven't seen him on the practice field. Meanwhile, we see Tom Brady down in Tampa, which kind of sucks. I promise, you're lined up here on the phones. We'll go right to you in a long commercial-free segment next.
Dugger's Pass. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger Mass.
Okay, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's his team, and I think that's become evident to anybody that's been around him, not just during the workouts that he organized during the offseason, but now once they're back on the field, 23 offensive players out there today, and Brady was leading the charge. And you'll see in this video, too, already instructing guys on where to be and what he wants, taking full command of it. And as Bruce Arians told us last week, some of these guys are going to have to get over being awestruck about Brady in the huddle. And he's hoping that they have the guts to go up to him, talk to him, break the ice, and then let's get to this thing. But Brady is one of those guys that'll get out in front of that as well. He wants to be one of them, at least in terms of how he's perceived in the locker room, but he also wants to be the leader. He wants to be in charge of this offense. We heard from LeSean McCoy just a short time ago. As you mentioned, Andrew, he just signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, his third team in the last 3 years. And he said he's like a general out there of Brady. He said he's in complete command. And he said they were watching him today, and he was having a conversation with Rob Gronkowski, and he said, man, he looks good. Like, how much longer do you think he's going to keep playing? So they're very impressed by the sharpness and the intensity that Brady has brought here. And look, let's face it, this is a huge change for Tom Brady after 20 years, and he wants to put his best foot forward, pandemic or no pandemic, mask, no mask. He wants to be the guy that he's been for so many years in New England.
Mike Giardi, NFL Network, with the reporting down in Tampa Bay. Tom Brady on the field, ready to go for the Bucs. Where's that reporting on Cam Newton and the Patriots? I'd like to have it if I'm a Patriots fan. I'd like to have it as a Patriots media guy, as a talk show in Boston. I'd like to have it. Where's that? When's it coming? Guy in Boston, bring us back. Go ahead, Guy.
Hey, you guys are talking about Mike Lombardi, Greg Bedard. Why don't you just get in touch with, like, Pee Wee Herman? And he, Maz, Tom Brady didn't check out. He Belichicked out. And Felger, if you think the Red Sox suck, wait until you see the Patriots. Thank you.
Okay, Guy. I do think those opt-outs, man, do change it. And I now have a developing opinion on those opt-outs. I just discovered it live on the air in the course of reading that story. Jaguar in the car. Go ahead on those opt-outs.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So, just want to say that you can just picture all the Patriots haters are going to say the Patriots are cheating again. They planned this COVID. They went from net less than $1 million in cap space to over $30 million in cap space. They're going to say that Brady walked out. We got to rely on decent backup in Cam Newton. We're going to have all this money to sign, say, a bunch of pass rushers that we need. Bill's going to be happy again, and we're going to probably make the playoffs and go halfway decent.
So I have no idea what he's saying. Did you understand what he's saying?
Yeah, Bill started the COVID to get a leg up on the league. He went to a wet market.
I was going to say, he ate the bat soup?
Yeah.
Is that what... no,
Felger, Ernie Adams was a science major in college. He devised the virus.
Here's what I'm workshopping on these opt-outs. We've been asking, what's the commonality? Why do the Patriots have eight? No one has more than three. What's behind it? Is it a master plan? What if it's budget cuts? What if it's budget cuts? I mean, everyone has them. Everyone. Every business I know has had to cut personnel or cut salary or do something. And what if that's what the Patriots have done? Now, some of these guys, they could have cut in camp. They could have cut Marquise Lee and Matt LaCosta and saved the money just by cutting these guys in camp. But what if the team maybe in some way did them a favor to say that, well, you're not going to make it, so if you opt out, maybe you can get that $150. Or I mean, I don't know. But what if Hightower, which again, I mean, I'm just workshopping this. I'm doing this in real time. They gave those guys all that bonus money. So, like, they already peed away a bunch of money on those guys. So maybe they wouldn't be the ones that they wanted to leave. But I don't know. They're not going to spend that money. They're not signing Jadeveon Clowney.
No way.
They're not bringing in Odell Beckham. They peed away some bonus money for McCourty and Chung, but they saved a boatload on Hightower, Cannon, and go back and look up all the money they saved. And my guess is they're not gonna respend it. And it's not a master plan. What if there were budget cuts?
Okay, so look, again, this gets back to maybe they went to a guy like Hightower and asked to cut his salary, and he said no, so he opted out.
maybe they were going to get that money one way or the other. If you're going to, you know, and again, they drafted linebackers. They drafted a safety with their highest pick in the draft in Duggar. Maybe they did the same, although they gave, you know, the Chung deal was a new deal. So I'm not saying it applies in every single case. But I wonder with someone like Hightower whether they did that. I do. Maybe they went to him and said, look, we got to trim this a little. This number's, you know, and too high. And Hightower said, I'm not taking less.
So
go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of quick leftover RAS calls on the board. Bobby in Tewksbury. Go ahead, Bobby.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Listen, I'm calling for RASC. I agree with Murray and stuff. During the regular season, great. But when it comes to the playoffs and the big games, they don't make a diaper big enough for this man. He craps his pants. Let's be honest. And one more thing, to all the fans out there calling about the ice, get over it. Grow up. It's not the ice. Watch the game that we watched the other day. You blame the ice? They sucked the other day. Guys, God bless and thank you.
Okay, God bless you, Bobby. Good stuff. Steven in the car on the Bruins and Rask. Go ahead, Bobby. You're up next with Felger. I'm sorry, Steven in the car. You're up next with Felger and Maz. 1 second. That's my fault. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. I think it's fair to, you know, judge Tuukka by one of his contemporaries, which would be Carey Price, without getting into the weeds. They're both the same age. Their goals against and everything are a wash. But the question is, and neither has won a cup, the question is, and I might say Carey Price as a Bruins fan, but who would you want in Game 7?
Carey Price. I've always liked Carey Price. And maybe that's just, you know, maybe that's a bias because I've watched Rask so much and he's disappointed us so much in so many big spots. I mean, Rask has had a better career than Carey Price. He just has. I think Carey Price is a better goaltender. I frankly always have felt that way.
I do too, but he's really never been put in that position. I think a better comp for a contemporary for Rask is Hank Lundqvist. Made that one Stanley Cup, and if anyone has a friend that's a Rangers fan, they kind of hate his guts and don't trust him.
It's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So my question just is, Game 7, when the caller says he gets to Game 7, he craps his pants, only in the finals, or what round are we talking now? Like, this is the part I have a hard time completely dumping on Rask after he played the way he played last year. Now, I'm not telling you it ended well because it didn't, but he was lights out. He was the best goalie in the postseason. He won a Game 7 in the first round, but that one doesn't count, right?
Yeah, Jordan Binnington was the best goalie in the postseason, but
no, he wasn't. He was the best goalie at the end. He was the best goalie
when it mattered.
I'm just curious.
I know, so the other ones don't matter?
You guys got to talk to each other. Talk, don't talk, you know, just decide whether you're talking or not.
No, go ahead, Mike.
I'm just curious if Rask is ready to go. That's all. I don't know if he's ready to go right now. Steven in Charlotte on the Brady coverage. Go ahead, Stefan. Go ahead, Stefan.
Hey, Felger, I love you because you're so critical. And you know, if this was coming out of New England last year, you would be tearing it apart. Why are we trusting Brady and his reporters with all these stories? I think it's, you know, the Brady camp spinning what they usually do. And real quick, Tuukka Rask is Peyton Manning. Great in the regular season, chokes in the postseason. Have a good one, guys.
Okay, there you go. Maz, where's your Twitter polling at right now? We asked a very straightforward, simple question on Tuukka Rask earlier. Do you have confidence in Tuukka Rask? I just wanted the general temperature of our listeners and what are those numbers right now?
Okay, we're approaching 5,000 votes now, and it's 54.4% say they do trust Tuukka, 45.6% say they don't.
Held firm. It's held firm. That surprises me. I thought more people would be I thought it'd be flipped. I thought over half would not be confident in Tuukka Rask. So he has the faith of at least most Bruins fans. It's not an overwhelming majority, but it's a majority of Bruins fans have faith in Tuukka Rask. Go know that. I will continue with that conversation, and we'll circle back to where we all began with Rask and Marchand smirking next to Rask yesterday when he answered those questions about the cough button and losing the last couple of days of practice and not playing in that first game. Is there something going on there? Do you fully buy the cough button business? We'll get back to that. But we do want to get to Major League Baseball coming up next. We want to get to excuse-making for Major League Baseball and excuse-making for the Boston Red Sox. We'll do both of those things after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.